I've been reading so much for this day that I think I overread. They're going to share a picture with us up here, and I want to explain a little bit about it. In the meantime, you can open your Bibles if you have one to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Verse 22, it says this. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, he made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. There's a game that we Mexicans play. How many Mexicans in here? Don't be afraid to say you are Mexican. There you go. There might be a lot of violence in Mexico and a lot of mafia and bad stuff, but there's also our Christian brothers over there. There it is. This is not a tarot card that tells your future about you're going to die, but it does say underneath it, La Muerte. It means the death card. This is a game that in Mexico, it's a Mexican game called Loteria, lottery, that's what it's called. It's like the Mexican bingo, Mexican Loteria. When families, Latin families get together, they play this game. Some of them use money to play this game. It wouldn't be any fun if you don't play with money. You have to win something, right? But the main reason they play this game is that because families get together, and while you're there, you're talking about your hardships and what's going on in your family and who your son is getting married to and who your daughters are getting married to and what's going on. Who's this guy? Why is he bothering your daughter? And we don't like him and stuff like that. And you get to have a conversation with your family members. One day I was sitting in one game, not here in Houston, but in San Antonio with my wife's family. So there we decided to get together. We were talking about family matters and everything that's going on in church matters. And all of a sudden, you know, they're playing. They play real rough over there. I mean, their money just builds up and builds up. Of course, you didn't go there for the money. Well, you didn't go there for the money. You went there to have fellowship with your brothers and sisters and your family members. My wife, and I remember this clearly, she usually says bingo. She uses the word bingo in English, even though she doesn't speak English, she doesn't understand very much English, but she uses the word bingo when she wins. She doesn't say, you're supposed to say buenas, which means good. I won, basically. Well, one day, we're playing there, and she says, buenas con la muerte, which means, translated means this, good with death. So I'm looking at her and says, do you know what you just said? It doesn't sound right. But when it comes to the game, it's right. You know, you won with a death card. Buenas con la muerte. Which led me to read the Bible and come up with what I'm about to share with you. This happened a long time ago, and I've been reading, and I said, wow, this is so awesome. I'm glad I was there for that one game. I lost 20 bucks, but who cares? Joseph told Israel, Genesis, the last chapter in Genesis, this same Joseph, it's right there where he says, remember, he had so much faith that he told Israel this. He says, you know what, you guys? He says, last chapter, verse 25. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear to me. I am claustrophobic. It's hard for me to get on an airplane. I will. It's easier for me to get on if somebody's going to get on with me, knowing that he's going to die with me if the plane goes down. But I made my brothers swear something to me if something happens to me, where they should find me and where they can find money to get me out. Not that I'm going to break the law, but if I'm ever arrested for doing good, Jesus was arrested for doing good, right? Or anything like that, they should get me out because I'm not going to stand being in a cell in a little block. And they swore to me, we'll go get you. Joseph is saying, swear to me that when you get out of here, because you know what? God is going to bless you. He's going to take care of you. That you carry my bones out of here from Egypt, out of Egypt. You're going to take me with you. It says here in the same chapter, he died at about 120. Israel was in slavery for 400 years. So if you do the math, it was about 300 years later that they took him out. That's a long time. Yet he knew this. He had faith enough to say, take me out when it comes time. You know, Joseph was hierarchy in Egypt. Why not a pyramid? Why not bury him in the Valley of the Bones like we know now that they found? No, he said, you know what? I'm not staying here. You're taking me with you because I know that God's going to come to release you from your slavery. Maybe not now, but in the future. But you know what? You know how we're like, we humans nowadays? It's got to be now. We come home, we're hungry. I need to eat now. It's not 12 o'clock yet. You're not eating today till 1 o'clock, okay? We want things fast. Yet he knew, even if he dies, that he was going to be carried away. Moses, it says in the Bible, carried him, and they took him to, and it wasn't Moses, but then it was Joshua, who took him to the promised land and buried him in Shechem. It did happen. Just remember this little story. We're going to come back to it. Genesis chapter 2. Well, chapter 1 says, chapter 1 of Genesis, we're going to start at the beginning. Chapter 1 of Genesis says this, where he made, and God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female. So now we know that God created us in his image. And sometimes we ask, what does that mean? But before that, he says that he created all animals in their own likeness. Fish in their likeness, cattle in their likeness, birds in their likeness. Okay? I just want you to put that in your mind. Chapter 2, verse 21. So the Lord, chapter 2, Genesis, verse 21. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon man, Adam, and he slept. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And God fashioned, he built basically, into the woman, to a woman, the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. Why the rib? Have you ever thought about that? Why the rib? Anyway, it says here, and the man said in verse 23, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. You know, wouldn't you take care of something that came out of you? You're more apt to take care of something that this woman came from me. So you know what? You should take care of her, vice versa. But think about this. Matthew Henry wrote commentaries to the whole Bible. He said this about this verse. It's kind of pretty cool. He said, it's a good thing that God didn't take some bone from the head and make woman. Otherwise, the woman would be lord over him. And it's a good thing that God didn't take a bone from the feet, because then men would be stomping on her. It's a good thing that he took them from the ribs, because it makes us equal. And not only that, it's closer to the heart to be loved and closer to the arm to hug. That's pretty wise. I said, that's awesome. But you know what? Science says this. The rib is the only bone that can regenerate itself. Right, Eli? Have you read that? Chiropractor? If you have a bone hurt in another place of your body, you know what they do? They open up your rib, they take a piece of that, put it down there, and then your rib will grow back. It's the only bone that does that. So God knew what he was doing. You know, I'm going to take the bone, make the woman. It's going to grow back anyway. But some women go, you know, maybe I should have took it from the head. He doesn't have nothing between the ears anyway. But that's, I think, one of the reasons God did that. It's the one that regenerates itself. Bone of my bone. And if you know where I'm going this, and regeneration, this is where we're going with it. Let's see Ezekiel chapter 37. Verses 1 through 3. And the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass among them about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry and brittle and mixed all over the place. That's what he's saying. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, you know. Verse 6, and I will put sinews on you and make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you that you may come alive and you will know that I am the Lord. This is a prophecy that has to do with Israel. A prophecy that sooner or later Israel is going to come back together and God's going to gather them from all over the world and make them be one. Has this happened? Some Bible scholars or maybe theologians in this room probably know that in 1948, and the whole story about prophecy, which we're not going to go there, but I want you to understand this and put this question in our lives. Can these bones live? John chapter 19. Let's go to John chapter 17 first. In John chapter 17, Jesus is praying. The whole chapter is about a prayer, and it's a beautiful prayer if you've never read it. Jesus spoke these things, verse 1, and lifting his eyes into heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. When it says the hour has come, something's about to happen. The time is right now. Something's about to happen. What Jesus is talking to the Father about is, you know what? I'm about to give my life. Skip some verses here. Verse 20. Jesus says in the same prayer, I do not ask on my behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word. See, he was praying for his disciples, but he's saying, not only my disciples, but those that are disciples that are to come yet, that they may be all one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that also may be in us, so that the world who believes that you sent me, so the world can believe that you sent me, the glory which you have given me, verse 22, I have given to them that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. What makes us one with Jesus? What makes us one with God? Chapter 19. Chapter 19 of John talks about the crucifixion. There's a lot of beautiful verses here. We're going to go to verse 31. Then the Jews, because it was the day of preparation, it was a festival, time of festival of Passover, so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, asked Pilate and that their legs may be broken, that they might be taken away. See, it was time for them, for the Sabbath the high day Sabbath to start, and the bodies can't remain on the cross. So they asked Pilate, we need to break their legs so they can die, so we can get on with it. It's basically what they're saying. So the soldiers came, and they came to the first cross, verse 32, and they broke the legs of the first man, and he died. They came to the second man, and they broke the legs of the second man, and he died. But coming to Jesus, verse 33, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced him in the side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified. He's the writer here saying, I saw this. I know it. And I'm telling you so you can believe also. Verse 36, for these things came to pass to fulfill the scripture, not a bone of him shall be broken. Scripture says in Leviticus that the lamb, it's a law that the lamb's bones shall not break. In Psalms 22, it says that they look on me and my bones show. My bones aren't broken. You see, the thing is this. Very simple. They didn't kill Jesus. They were not about to break his bones. He gave his bones. He gave his life so that these bones may live. Can these bones live? Through Jesus Christ is the only way that these bones may live. Matthew chapter 23. There's seven woes there. And the sixth woe, verse 27, Jesus says, woe to you, Pharisees, scribes, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear so beautiful, but inside you're full of dead men's bones with all uncleanness. See, God's not about your outside. God is about your inside. I mean, who's going to want a face like mine? One of my friends says, hey, you know what? You got a drunkard's face. You should drink some beer so you won't be wasting it. I said, what? You know, I don't drink alcohol. I don't do drugs. And inside, I pray that I am worthy of his unbroken bones. Because you know what, in my life, and I wrote some quotes here and I have to read them because I wrote them this morning. We should leave the broken-hearted, shattered past behind. Step into the future with Jesus Christ by putting ourselves in his hands. We need to break that heart of stone that we have and let Jesus heal the broken one that we have. You know, we live in a world of suffering, of death, of sin, of war. Kids, little babies being killed by some madman. We live in a world of dirty politics, a world of sickness, a world that wants to take our faith. A world that's broken, that's cursed, and that's shattered. Jesus says in Luke chapter 4, he says, I came to heal the brokenhearted. The word there in Hebrew and Greek means the shattered. Those that are shattered within, I came to fix. Because you know what? In this world, we'll have a lot of that. A lot of problems, a lot of shatteredness. You know, this world was visited by the Son of God who gave his life to take us back. Joseph knew that. Take my bones out of here. I don't belong here. Joseph knew. How long can we wait? Well, I say this, just like Joseph, let's take our bones and let's make it one. Bone of his bone is what we should be if we want to be unbroken. Because in our lives, there's too much pain, too much brokenness, and the only healing we find is in Jesus Christ, because his bones were not broken so that we may live. Crackers. In Mexico, they tell you this firecracker, you can hold it in your hand, goes pop. It doesn't hurt you. Here in the U.S., we make fire, what do they call it? Black cats. You put it on the ground, you can't hold it in your hand, it goes boom. It's like fireworks. It's this way. Fireworks, New Year comes around, we all want to see it, it's so beautiful, and they're bursting, but you know what? It doesn't last. In life, there's things that we want to put into our lives and think that it's good for us, but and think it's the answer for everything, but you know what? It doesn't last. The only thing that lasts is Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, it says the Bible, today, and forever. Only we should concentrate on today. Paul put it this way, Philippians chapter 3, he put it this way, brethren, I do not regard myself as having a hold of it yet, but one thing I do know, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Let us therefore, as many are perfect, have this attitude. And if any of you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. We are bone of His bone. Revelations 19 says, just like it says in Genesis chapter 2, Adam was bone of his woman. Jesus says He's coming back for a marriage on chapter 17 and 19, that He's coming back for a marriage, bone of His bone. Because Adam's bones were breakable and Jesus' bones are unbreakable. Chapter 21 of Revelation says, in that time there will be no pain, no tears. We will be all the same, all one, like Jesus says. Let's make them one as we are one. God bless you. Stand with me as we pray. Let's pray. So we ask You, Lord, for the pain that we sometimes have in this world is so harsh to live by. That You bring peace to our hearts, Father. That You help our faith in Jesus as He heals us from broken hearts that we have. Thank You for the answer that You have given us, Father, and forgive us for not being strong enough to understand, for not being strong enough to stay firm, Father, and falling once in a while, Father. A blessing on this church, Father. Look down on the members of this church and bless them, Father. If there's somebody in this room hurting, Father, I ask, Father, for Your mercy, for Your compassion. That You touch the hearts, Father, and the hurt that we all have, Father. We will wait as long as it takes, as Joseph did, waiting on His son to come back and make us one again. Thank You for that. Great is the Lord, and great can be praised, Father. We pray these things in the name of salvation. His name is Jesus. Amen.